It's the Red Fox Roto Bullpen Report on the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Today's Tuesday, June 9th, so we're recapping some of what happened in MLB bullpens over the weekend and just the last week in general. And we had a rather subdued week of closer news. So, you know, I almost feel as though I miss the chaos we've been experiencing all year. Almost. As frustrating as the insanity had been as a fantasy player, it's definitely given me a lot of content for the article and this podcast. Today I'm just going to start with what was, you know, the most surprising development of the past week, and that was in Kansas City. I covered the situation on the Saturday Fab preview, but I didn't really get too deep into why I'm low on Alex Lang as the new Royals closer. Lang could be a useful fantasy closer. He could even hold the job for a while. It's just been hard to wrap my head around the fact that Lang had spent the majority of the season pitching essentially mop-up innings while the Royals were losing, and then suddenly he's vaulted into the closer role in the span of a week. He holds a 4.03 ERA, a 1.38 whip. He's got a very mediocre K-minus walk rate, around 13%. Now, he's only allowed 3 runs since the beginning of May. He's been pitching well. But if we take a quick look at Lang's 3 saves last week, it shows us that he may prove to be the next Jacob Junis, a pitcher who benefited from circumstances to earn 3 saves in a week back in April, and has only 1 save since. And Lang is coming off a 3 save week. But in his first save, this was back on Wednesday, the Royals scored 3 runs in the 9th inning to break what had been a tie game. But Daniel Lynch IV had pitched a scoreless 8th inning, which had begun with the Reds 2-3-4 hitters. And the leadoff guy was J.J. Bleday, a fellow lefty. So it made sense to see Lynch in that spot. Matt Strom, Lucas Ursegg, John Schreiber, they had pitched in an extra inning game the night before. So that left Lang as the fallback option for the save in the 9th inning that day. The next night, the Royals again created a save chance by breaking a 9th inning tie, this time scoring 2 runs. But Strom and Lynch had pitched scoreless 7th and 8th innings, respectively, while John Schreiber had thrown in the 6th inning that day. So yet again, Lang benefited from circumstances after the Royals had used trusted relievers to preserve the tie in earlier innings. So then 2 nights after that, the Royals once more created a save chance in the 9th inning. This time they scored 2 runs to take a 1-run lead. It hadn't been a tie game. But again, Daniel Lynch, Ursegg, Strom, they were used across the 6th to 8th innings while the game had been tied. So Alex Lang, he has earned a place in the late innings by successfully converting all 3 of these save chances he received. But all of those saves were available to him because of somewhat fortuitous circumstances when better, more trusted pitchers had already been deployed in those games while the outcome of the game was in greater doubt. And then to finish off last week, we had Lucas Ursegg earn a 2-out save on Sunday, though he did allow 2 hits in the process. It wasn't a clean couple of outs. But this followed a scoreless appearance from Ursegg on Saturday. So perhaps he's able to earn another shot at saves if Ursegg can continue a run of scoreless outings of his own. But right now, I think it seems more likely that we do see a mix of Royals relievers earn saves over the coming weeks. All right, but let's check in now with Baltimore, where Ryan Helsley threw a live batting practice session on Monday, so yesterday. And certainly a step in the right direction for him. The Orioles have brought him along slowly in his recovery from elbow inflammation. And that's likely the best approach for his long-term health and outlook. even if it's been a frustrating holding period for his fantasy owners. So Rico Garcia remains the favorite for saves in Baltimore until Helsley can return, which should finally happen, we hope, in the latter half of this month. All right, we'll move on now to the White Sox. We saw Grant Taylor secure his second save of the season last Saturday with three strikeouts, striking out the side. So we know that Taylor is by far the best reliever on the White Sox. But we do have to remember that Sir Anthony Dominguez was signed for 2 years and $20 million to be the White Sox closer. And he should mostly occupy that role for as long as he's competent, which he has been this year. Now, Grant Taylor deserves a heavy share of the late innings, but he's still being used in that versatile multi-inning role too often to really fully overcome Dominguez as the top closer right now. Taylor has recorded three outs or fewer in just 13 of his 25 appearances. And in his two games before his last save, he threw two innings in both of those games. All right, moving to Detroit. Kenley Jansen will make a rehab appearance in AAA today, Tuesday. He seems poised to return from the injured list later this week, perhaps, maybe early next week, barring any setbacks once he's throwing in a competitive game situation again. But Kyle Finnegan received the first save chance after Jansen's IL placement, but he blew that lead. And then ever since, Will Vest has been AJ Hinch's preferred choice in those ninth inning situations. So Finnegan shares can be safely dropped. This is what I recommended in the Fab preview episode on Saturday. But Will Vest could be held through next week until we know for sure that Kenley Jansen not only returns, but he returns to his role as the team's closer. All right, in Houston, Josh Hader finally returned to the Astros bullpen. He was thrown straight into the fire, earned a save in his first appearance, came away with a win in his most recent outing. The one possible concern I had for Hader had been the reduced velocity that he'd shown in his last two outings in AAA. But his sinker has averaged 95.5 so far this year in the majors, which is identical to last year. And the slider has come in even higher than last year's average. So he's back. And let's just hope that Josh Hader can stay healthy from now until the end of the season. But any remaining Brian King shares can be dumped now or, you know, this coming Sunday in those weekly leagues. But in Los Angeles, we'll check in with the Angels, where Kirby Yates does not seem like the answer for the Angels. He had his chance to take the closer job and run with it, but his decreased velocity has left him with really little margin for error. In Yates' last four games, he's taken two losses and a blown save. So even though he has pitched the ninth inning in eight straight appearances, he has just one save in that time against two losses and two blown saves. Now, that didn't stop Kurt Suzuki from saying the team had signed Yates to be their closer and they were going to give him the chance to close. So Yates has some time left to figure it out. I'm just not optimistic that he'll be able to. But the Angels don't have any really outstanding alternatives. Sam Bachman has had a nice season on the surface, as we can see in his 2.05 ERA and the 1.04 whip. He's also working on an 11-game scoreless streak, so it would be nice to see him get a chance at some saves while he's on such an effective run of quality innings. But Sam Bachman has really benefited from a very low BABIP of 211 and a home run to fly ball rate that's very low at 7.4%. Though to his credit, home run suppression has been a skill for him so far in his MLB career. So I think Sam Bachman could be a quiet stash right now, even if the upside of any Angels closer ultimately is limited. Now, we did have some important news, maybe, come out of Milwaukee, or actually Las Vegas last night. So Trevor McGill's last appearance was a blown save in Colorado on Friday. The Brewers won by large margins over the weekend, so McGill, the setup guys, weren't needed. But McGill was curiously left in the bullpen for the entirety of the Brewers' 15-14 extra inning win over the A's in Las Vegas last night. This included a possible save chance to come in during the 10th inning, and then the eventual save opportunity, which was given to Chad Patrick in the 12th inning. So after the game, we learned from manager Pat Murphy that McGill was unavailable because he had, this is the quote, felt some discomfort. We don't yet know when or where this discomfort occurred, but this is a situation to watch closely. McGill missed time last year with a forearm issue, the flexor strain. He received a PRP injection over the offseason. Abner Uribe may yet have life and could return to that closer role if McGill ends up missing more time. But right now, we don't really know what's going on with McGill and what that discomfort was. All right, in San Francisco, is it time to wonder if the Giants have taken the mantle from the Marlins and given us a new closer carousel? It seems like none of the Giants relievers, despite mostly having good seasons overall, wants to pitch well enough to take and keep the closer role. So Keaton Wynn was the latest to blow a save in the 9th inning. He allowed 3 runs yesterday while trying to hold a 2-run lead. Caleb Killian's last blown save was the 5-run eruption he allowed in Colorado on May 29th. That was long enough ago that perhaps the next chance goes to Killian. Now, either pitcher could probably be a serviceable closer with a regular gig in the 9th inning, but Tony Vitello's bullpen management thus far doesn't really indicate that a true closer will emerge. All right, in Seattle, while I don't believe a change in the 9th is imminent, Andrés Muñoz has had a lot of difficulty replicating his brilliant 2025 season. Muñoz blew his 5th save on Sunday. He now has a rough 5.18 ERA, a 1.36 whip. But under the hood, Muñoz is really having his best season of the last 4 years in terms of strikeout percent, his walk rate, and subsequently the K minus walk rate. All three are the best they've been since his breakout 2022 season. The damage against him has really been done by a 339 BABIP. That's 64 points above his career rate. And he's allowing just an uptick in fly balls, more fly balls. And unfortunately, that's been paired with a career worst 19% home run to fly ball ratio. So if Muñoz can get the ball on the ground again, like he's been known for in years past, he has the potential to put up a big second half. But if not, and the fly ball tendencies continue for the rest of this season, we'll just have to hope that the leash remains as long as it has appeared to be so far. Now, at the beginning of this year, I would have thought that Matt Brash was clearly the next man up in the Seattle bullpen. But now I'm not sure it's a foregone conclusion that Brash would be the simple one-for-one replacement if Muñoz gets a break. We have Jose A. Ferrer, Eduard Bazardo, and Gabe Spire are all having excellent seasons as well. So I really don't think there's an obvious handcuff in Seattle. And we'll finish up in Washington, where after he had consecutive saves to end the month of May, it appeared that Clayton Beter had taken back the Nationals closer role that he had started the season with. But instead, his last two appearances have begun in the 7th inning, and he allowed multiple runs in each. In combination, that's a very bad thing. Gus Varland earned his fifth save of the season last night, Monday night, after Beeter had allowed two runs in the eighth inning. So at this time, it's just too hard to tell if the Nationals will commit to one of them as their primary closer, or if they'll, you know, continue to swap their role back and forth as each proves their mediocrity in turn. But that wraps up today's edition of the Bullpen Report on the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. You'll hear from me again on Saturday for the usual free agency preview. But until then, let's close it out.